that contains every nation, kindred, and tongue on earth in one place, attempting to act as one. Although the intent of the founding fathers of this great nation was that it was set up by white people, for white people, God has seen to it that every people on the face of the earth have come to this nation, to this country. Many of you who only find unity during Hajj or find common ground to intercourse with each other during conflict in the United States, Palestinians, Albanians, Egyptians, Pakistanis, Fijians, Muslims from everywhere can meet together while national boundaries and customs separated Muslims. In this nation, it allows us the privilege of meeting with each other and overcoming national hatred, national divisions. And now we have a chance in the West to lift up a light that will shine back to the East, the troubled area of our world. But we cannot shine a light back toward the East unless we lift up a light here in the West. Now, you know, dear brothers and sisters, that the founding fathers of this nation, many of whom who wrote the Constitution, were Shriners, or Muslim Sons, as they called themselves. And you know that they had a brush with Islam from the 7th to the 11th century, after the death of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, Islam spread to the known world. And those who established America did not want Islam in the United States or in the colonies of what would become the United States. History teaches us that they brought our fathers out of Africa to these shores not to remain citizens, but to be made the burden bearers of those who were the citizens of this country. And many of our fathers who were captured and brought to America as slaves, history teaches us that we were Muslims. We were not savages. We were intelligent people. We were people of skill and wisdom, because that is what Islam produces. But the early founders of this nation did not want Muslims among the slaves. So many of the Muslims were killed outright, so that the name Allah would never be heard among us, so that the name Muhammad would never be heard among us, so that the Quran would never be recited among us. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us that by taking away from us our name, language, culture, religion, God, country, this made us spiritually blind, deaf, and dumb, having eyes but not being able to see, having ears but not being able to hear, having a tongue but not being able to speak the truth, because the truth we had not known. This Western Hemisphere was not established by those who were pure in the understanding of the Torah or the Injil. lesson in secret order. How then were the common people of America to get the message of Islam? For 300 years, my brothers and sisters, black people, were enslaved in this country under white rule. Those who enslaved us called themselves Christians. And some who bought and sold us called themselves Jews. Readers of the Torah, readers of the gospel, but not practitioners of the principles of the Torah and the gospel where our lives were concerned. We were denied the human right to learn, to know, to grow humanly. And this was not done for a day or a week or a year, but for 300 long years. After 300 years of slavery, white America decided that it was not incompatible for us to be slaves and Christians at the same time. So they allowed us to come into the Christian church, but it was a separate church. We could not worship with them. We could not live with them. We could not even be buried with them because the Constitution rendered us subhuman and then said that we could have what was separate but equal. But we were separate and unequal. Now, when you look at that condition of America, reared in racism, this country preached and practiced white supremacy. And white supremacy produced in black people the reverse of black inferiority. So that black men and women, or African American men and women, never saw themselves as the equal of white people, let alone anybody else from any part of the earth that did not look black like ourselves. We were baptized in an inferiority which manifested itself in acts of self-hatred and self-destruction. Many of you who work in and around the black community, you know the condition of our people. And you know that nothing has been able to reform our people and make them better but the presence of Islam. The question is, by what means and method should Islam be brought to this country reared in racism, sexism, materialism, and the cruel and wicked exploitation of over 30 million black people? How should Islam be introduced in this society? That is where we come to problems. How should Islam be introduced? Since it was not wanted here, and many right-minded Muslims came to America to try to teach us, and they meant well. Some of them were imprisoned, some of them were deported. Others of them tried to teach us, and as you know, the early teachers were members of the Ahmadiyya movement, and they tried to bring us Islam as they understood it and believed it, and many former musicians gravitated toward Islam. They were the missionaries, but many others who had Islam, they never came to us. They walked over us and tried to convert our slave masters and oppressors to Islam, and it never worked. But black people, who are the suffering ones, are more prone accept Islam than anybody in America, but most of the world thinks that if we accept Islam, what difference would it make? If we can get the rich and the powerful and the white to accept Islam, then the whole world will accept Islam. Wrong.
Wrong.
When you get the poor, the downtrodden, those that have been left out to accept the faith, they will rise and bring the faith to those who rejected it in the first place. In the pattern of Allah, in the pattern of Allah, whenever Islam comes into a new environment, it is not readily accepted by those in leadership. It is not readily accepted by the powerful. It is always readily accepted by the poor and those who are downtrodden. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, when he came with the message was not readily accepted by the Quraysh or those considered in power, but the message was accepted by the poor and the slaves. And that's how Bilal heard it and accepted it, because he was cut down in that society. And when he heard the prophet, he knew that the prophet represented salvation. That was a sign. And as Bilal became the muezzin or the caller to the faith, and one revered by the prophet, then that was a sign that the very people sometimes that you overlook and think them unworthy are the very people that Allah will use to bring about a revolution in the world. And I'm not talking about a bloody revolution. I'm talking about a revolution of the thought process, and that is brought about by the Quran itself. Now, beloved, I don't want to bore you or to take a lot of your time. But to me, this is one of the greatest honors and privileges of my life. Because I see myself as a Muslim. I believe in Allah. I believe in Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And I'm talking about Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah, the son of Abdullah. I believe in him. And I believe in the book that came with him. Now, brothers and sisters, everybody that believes in the book doesn't see the book the same way. Perception is different. We all can look at the same thing, but we will perceive it differently depending upon the quality of our faith and the condition of our hearts. Now, brothers and sisters, we had nobody to help us. Nobody came to the aid of the black man and woman in America until one came to us from Mecca, Master Farad Muhammad. We said, that man that came, I never met him, I never saw his face. I only know of him what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught me of him. Don't get excited. You want me to bring these things up, because these are the things that have divided us. And if we don't bring them up and out into the open, how can we have meaningful dialogue and discussion so that we can become one solid community again? I don't bring this up to behind you. I really want us to be present. Child of Islam. I don't want people to have me come through the back door. I want to come through the door that is can't convert one soul without the backing of God Almighty. And if God is not with us, we are all finished. And we can't play games with this faith. This is a hot fire. If you play with it, you get burned. This is not putting on the robes of Muhammad and dressing in the garment of a Muslim. This is dressing our hearts in the garment of truth and righteousness and a desire to submit our will entirely to do the will of God. But what is God's will for them? What is God's will for the black man and woman in America?
Pardon me for raising my voice. I don't mean any disrespect. I'm for both brothers and sisters. I want to just bring this to a climax or conclusion. Beloved, I appeal to you in the name of Allah to look at America, the greatest country on earth. Look at her. But she was founded on the murder of millions of Native Americans. And she was founded on the kidnap, murder, and enslavement of millions of blacks. Unless we can see America through the eyes of the Quran, then our eyes are not open. And I respectfully submit to you, beloved brothers and sisters, that there is a reason why Moses is mentioned more in the Quran than any other prophet. There is a reason why Moses is a prototype of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And as Moses, according to the Quran and the Bible, came to a people in bondage, not to integrate them with their oppressor, but to separate them from their oppressor as their oppressor's time of judgment had arrived. Egypt was a great nation, but greatness is not in your eyes and mine. Greatness is in the righteousness of a nation. And when a nation is rotten at the core, God sees it. And when God puts his hand against that nation, there's nothing you or I can do to hold it up. Now, we may be enamored with what America has to offer, her greatness, her power, her majesty, her roads, her communication, her fine institutions. But what does her righteousness look like? If that is the measure of a nation, what does America look like in righteousness? If you put the Quran and the prophets over America, you will find that every prophet in the Quran dealt with some aspect of the sins that are flagrantly practiced in America. From Noah to Abraham and the images and the icons to Noah and Lot and the homosexuality, Pharaoh, the slavery, Shuai and Hud and Sabbath, they all dealt with different aspects of sin that is abundant in America. And at the core of America is 30 million black people that nobody seems to care about. I cannot help it, and I apologize to no one. I care for black people. I care that their suffering must be relieved. And I care for the suffering of every human being who is suffering, but it would be unnatural for me not to care for the hurt of my own people. And my question is, who is going to deliver my people out of this condition? We are murdering each other as we sit here today and eat a good, beautiful meal. There are many black people in this country that have nothing to eat. And we have become the number one rapers, robbers, murderers, shooters, pillagers, destroyers of each other. Who is going to clean this up? They have the Arabs in their jahiliyyah, it will and can affect us in our jahiliyyah. Our jahiliyyah, I respectfully submit to you, is worse than the Arab jahiliyyah. Because what you were doing in Arabia at the time of the birth of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, is vastly different than the circumstances that we're living in America. Prophet Muhammad dealt with the Quraysh and their wickedness and their ignorance of the Arab world, in the Arab world, possibly. But we have to deal not only with our people's ignorance, but with the wickedness of a government that has never wanted to see our people united and has worked night and day to destroy every strong black leader that has come up among us to address our problems. And whether you wish to believe it or not, whether it is Imam Wahiduddin, whether it is Imam Siraj Wahab or Louis Farrakhan, if we preach Islam and people listen to us, there are other forces also listening to put a stop to our progress. And what they would like to happen is to see us all get in each other's throats and kill each other.
Lord,
but I respectfully submit to my brothers, I am willing to sit down at a table with my imam, with the scholars, and let's sit and talk about the things wherein we differ. And if after sitting and talking and reasoning with each other, we'll come out of this as brothers, then Islam will benefit. We all will benefit. The beauty even of our differences. The Imam and I have had differences, and may still have differences. But I respect my brother as a superior teacher. I respect and honor him as that. And even though we have differences, we have never so much as given each other's followers a bloody nose. You can't say that for Iran and Iraq. We have shown ourselves to respect the lifeblood that only Allah can give. And we respect the power of redemption. Because I may be one thing today, but tomorrow by the grace of Allah, I may be another thing. Khalid was a great swordsman against the Prophet, but one day he became the sword of Allah. All we can do is do our best to correct each other according to our understanding and then let Allah work, because this ultimately is Allah's work. Now, I want to conclude by saying Elijah Muhammad is the man that taught me what I know, and he is the man that gave me an example that I wanted to be or pattern my life after. I respect him. I love him immensely.
I do too, bro.
And there is nothing that anybody can say to me that will make me put him down or discredit him, because that man did what nobody else had done. The problem is we can't stay where we were. We have to move on. This Quran says, Allah created you from a tiny life germ, sperm mixed with oil. the master of our evolution from sperm all the way to fully developed human being. If he is the master of our evolution on the physical level, what about our development on the spiritual level? And how can you, who have had Islam for 1400 years before we even knew Islam existed, sit yourself up as judges over our evolutionary development in the West? I really want to know this, because the Holy Prophet was not that kind of man. He gave us the Quran in degrees. He gave us the Quran in stages. And we evolved into Muslims from savages. Why not give us the same right? Is it an accident that the first revelation that came to the Holy Prophet was from the Surah Al-Alaq, the clock? A clock's not a beautiful thing, you know. But it is what we once were. In fact, sperm is not a nice thing to talk about. And the Quran said once a man was nothing to speak of, and we were sperm. And we don't have decent conversations talking about sperm. And that is showing us the growth of every people. The Arabs were once upon a time nothing to speak of until Prophet Muhammad came with the revelation of the Quran and Allah's intervention in their lives. Then the Arabs rose to power, is that right? And became world rulers. White folk lived in the caves. Once upon a time, they were nothing to speak of. Now it's our turn. We are in a cave-like situation, and we are not anything much to speak of. But that does not mean we don't have the capability of becoming a fully developed Muslim. But the right feeding has to be there. And of course, as Imam Wahidin, I heard him say that timing in the evolutionary process is critical. If you stay one thing too long, you die. You have to keep on evolving towards perfection. And I respectfully submit to you, my brothers, that Allah the clock reads in the name of your Lord. Many of us never heard of a Quran. How could we read what we didn't know anything about? We were an ignorant people, unlettered people, could not read Arabic or write it. So now, in our first state, you looked at us. You said, oh, I see some good in them, but they're not true Muslims yet. Wait. The sperm is not necessarily a true man yet, but the man is in the sperm. How can you say I'm not a true Muslim when my nature is Islam? And you didn't give that to me, nor did Prophet Muhammad. Allah gave that to me, and nobody can take away my Muslim. I'm not a Muslim because of you. And I'm not a Muslim because of Abraham. I was a Muslim before Abraham was even a thought in God's mind. Because our history goes back before Abraham. Well, what was it before Abraham? Our nature was still Islam. So please, brothers and sisters, let's get out of Allah's way. Get out of the throne of justice and put on your clothes. They look better on you than on our clothes. Allah said he will decide. And he knows best those who go right from those who stray from the straight path. Allah knows best. And Allah is judging today. And if I'm playing a game with this faith, Allah will deal with me severely, as he will deal with the Muslim world severely. You will not play with this and get away. We are in trouble today, Muslims. And I appeal to you in the name of Allah. Let us from this time
Right, Father.
But we won't be where we are now. We'll be much further along. Because I know I can learn from you. I'm a student. I can learn from you. But the converse is also true. You do, dear. And the moment you begin to think that you know, that's when you have lost it all. Prophet Muhammad said, he who goes out in search of knowledge is in the path of Allah until he returns. Because once he goes out in the path of knowledge, he should never return, because knowledge is as infinite as God himself. So none of us should ever arrogate to ourselves the thought that we know this book. This is God's book. And it is as deep as the God who revealed it. How dare us think that we know this book? It is constantly revealing itself, but this book is to guide us right up to the hereafter. So, beloved, let us put away false pride and arrogance, and let's talk to each other like men and like brothers with love for one another. Correct me. I'm willing to be corrected. And I'm also willing to do my part. I want to leave you with this thought. You know, dear brothers and sisters, the crisis in the Middle East is touching us all. Each of us is affected one way or another. But you know, if we don't judge by the book in one instance, we'll be condemned by the book in another. Saddam Hussein, who has moved into Kuwait, has been charged by the American government of being a very wicked man. He used poison gas, they said. They knew it when he first used it.
That's true.
But as long as he was using it against Iranians, America did not care. And as long as he used it against Kurds, they didn't care.
That's right, buddy.
And they never said a word in the American press about this so-called butcher, because they were backing him.
Yeah.
And Russia was backing him.
That's true.
And Saudi was backing him. And Kuwait was backing him. And when he attacked Iran, that was the time that all Muslims should have united against him and said, brother, you are wrong. When Arab nationalism took precedence,
that's true.
And we put the Quran behind our back, and we acted as though that it exists. I say this with a fat heart, because this our world of Islam. This is our world. I love this world. There's no other world but this one. This is the best God has ever given to man, and we are messing it up by not following it, but with a hypocritical posturing, trying to show ourselves that we are the righteous, but Allah is looking at this thing. We all should have united against Saddam Hussein in the first instance, but because of fear of Khomeini and what we think is his extremism, why? We support Saddam Hussein. And now we help to make a monster that has now turned on his own benefactors. Now everybody wants us to ask him to get out of Kuwait. He should. But you never did look at the British. Allah never set up Egypt, Jordan, Syria, Iraq, Sudan, Morocco, Libya. Allah set up the nation of Islam to take precedence over every corner. We are Muslims, black, another agenda. And their agenda is mastery in that area of the world. They are not going to let you or Saddam Hussein or anybody else control the vital oil industry. And they're not just coming there to defend. That's my posture. Because we got enough Muslim soldiers that if we went there, we could defend the kingdom. But now, brothers and sisters, the armies are pouring in there. And I don't believe they're coming for a short while. I believe they're coming to stay. And if you allow them there 6 months, you will not know that area of the world. And this I respectfully say to the followers, former followers of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. This is why Master Farad Muhammad asked us the question, why isn't the devil settled on the best part of the planet Earth? Because the earth belongs to the original man, and knowing that he was wicked, he put him out. That man is there to stay. He's trying to anchor himself now. And you watch, mark my words, when we ask him to leave, he'll find a reason to stay. And they're gonna force us to have to put him out like we did 6,000 years ago. May God bless us, Muslims. May God bless us to come together. May God bless us, Imam Wahid-Din, and Brother Imam Saraj Wahid. May Allah bless us, the indigenous Black American Muslims. May He bless us to come together, because the work is on our shoulders. Oh, and I must say respectfully to our brothers from Saudi Arabia, and this is with deep love and respect. America doesn't care 2 cents for black people. And when it comes to backing the indigenous Muslims, black people in America, they don't get the backing. Regardless whether you give anything to foreign, but you don't, the black Muslims or African American Muslims don't get the backing that they should from our elder brothers.
Right.
We have to go through all kinds of gymnastics to get a Quran, to get some help. You don't have the courage to say it, but I do, because I don't fear nobody but Allah. I'm just saying from my heart, do you know who's sitting in the desert to defend the vital interests of America and Saudi Arabia? It's these same black brothers and sisters that nobody gives a damn about. They're there to pour their lifeblood out in the sand. And I say this, I'm speaking for my people. I'm not going to sit by and let my brothers and sisters die in the desert. And when you have your money to pass out, you pass over us and you give it to those who are not going to die.
Thank you.
here in America. And the proposal was a proposal to be given to the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia on the problem of Muslims existing in the presence of American troops massive buildup in Saudi Arabia. I said the matter is not simple. It's very complicated. And that's what I say for our problems here with Mr. Louis Farquhar, and I'm sure he has some problems with us. It's not so simple. It's not that simple. You know, if we obey Allah, it's very simple. But how many of us even have the vision, the eyes to see obedience? You know? So to me, I must say, you must feel that it's very difficult, it's not a simple matter. So I have made my decision to accept Minister Louis Farrakhan upon what he has said today. And I think if we just look at not individuals, Minister Louis Farrakhan is an individual. If we look at the nations of Muslims, and let them speak at our conference, I think we have many more problems with the nations of Muslims than we have with Mr. Farrakhan. I think that's what he was trying to bring home. That the biggest problem is the problem of the international Muslim community. That's our biggest problem.